About the Taniyot that are based on something happening in the present. And we saw the Rambam Shita that they're an expansion of the mitzvah of blowing the Chatzot Zrot, because the common goal of blowing the Chatzot Zrot and the Tanit is to bring people to reflection and to tshuva. So the question now becomes, now that we've fixed one of the variables, we can ask ourselves, how does the questionable variable relate to the fixed variable? Meaning, Taniyot about things in the past, are they also, you know, to get people to reflect and bring them to tshuva, or are they about something different? And the reason you would think they're about something different is because how could they be about tshuva if it's about something in the past? The fact that 2,000 years ago somebody did something wrong and there was an implication, how could that mean that we should need to reflect and do tshuva? Meaning, the fact that Chas V'Shalom there isn't rain today, that could be because of what we're doing wrong. But how would it be about the past? So just to get ourselves a frame of reference, if we look at page 6, the Mishnah, at the end of Masechet Tanit, after a full Masechet, speaking about Taniyot based on things happening in the present, speaks about the five things that happened on Shavuos Tammuz, and then the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. One brief Mishnah about these two Taniyot, the other ones are not discussed in the Mishnah itself. The source in the Psukim, Sefer Zechariah, the beginning of Bayit Sheni, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, Hashem is responding to a question that the Kohanim asked the Nevi'im. The question they asked was, Ha'evgeh b'chodesh ha'chamishi ha'nazer ka'asher asiti zeh kamesh shanim. Should I fast in the fifth month? Interesting, that's the Tanit that's focused on. Which Tanit is in the fifth month, by the way? Tisha B'Av. It's interesting, they asked particularly about Tisha B'Av. What could the potential implication of that be? Asking particularly about Tisha B'Av. That Tisha B'Av might be qualitatively different than the others, right? We have to consider that possibility. In any case, Hashem begins the answer in Pasuk Dalet, V'hi Dvar Hashem Tzvot Eilai Leimor, Emor Al Kol Am Haaretz V'Al Konim Leimor, Ki Tzantim V'Sefot B'Chamishi U'Vashvi. Interestingly, Hashem's answer begins by relating to the fifth and the seventh month. Which time is in the seventh month? Tzom Gedalia. It's interesting that Tzom Gedalia is put on the same plane with Tisha B'Av. Anyone knows what the Gemara learns from this equation? That Misas Tzadik is Kisrefas Beis Elokeinu. That's a Tzom Gedalia question, but in any case, V'zeh Shivim Shana Hatzom Samtuni Ani, you think I was fasting? Hello, it's Advarim Meshakara Hashem Be'Anavim Rishim Be'od Yushalayim Meshevet Shleiva Ve'Areh Shvivoteh Ve'Anegev Shfala Yoshev Ve'Yidvar Hashem Tzvot Leimor. I'm summarizing it for you. One day things will be fixed. One day everything will be right. And the bottom of page 6, Pasuk Yutet, Korma Hashem Tzvot Summer Revi'i, which fast is in the fourth month? Shvat Sabbat Tammuz. V'Tzom HaChamishi, V'Tzom HaShvi'i, V'Tzom HaAsiri, what's Tzom HaAsiri? Tzom HaBetevet, Yiyah Levet Yudah L'Sasonu Simcha L'Modim Tovim V'Hamet V'Shalom Ohavo. One day, these fasts will be happy days. Interesting, which fast isn't mentioned? Well, that's for sure, because that has nothing to do with the Beit Mikdash, and that's not being asked about. Tanit Esther. Why isn't Tanit Esther mentioned? Could be it didn't happen yet. Or it's around the time when the Purim story was happening. But in any case, one day, this is where the Talmud I mentioned in the Psukim, in a context where the Navi is saying that one day, there'll be days of Sason, Simcha, and Moadim Tovim. In any case, the question we're asking is, now, just to mention in passing, what's not at all clear in these Psukim, despite the fact, and maybe because of the fact that there are so many Psukim, is when exactly these days will be Sason, Simcha, Moadim Tovim. What needs to happen for these days to become that? There's so much said in the Psukim that it's hard to pin it down. We'll get back to it later, because how they will be rescinded or turned into Yom Tovim should depend on what they're all about. But let's take this step back and ask ourselves, Bemet, what are they all about? So if you take a look at the Rambam on page 7, just like in Masechet Tanit, where the Masechet begins speaking about Taniyot about the present, and then ends speaking about Taniyot about the past, the Rambam, Hilchot Tanit, does the same thing. First four Perakim are about Taniyot based on the present, and then in Perakei, the Rambam gets to the days that we fast because of the Tzarot that occurred on them. She'iru b'hem, uses the same word in the Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah we saw said, Chamisha Dvarim Iru. Rabbi Shiva Sabbat Tammuz. And here the Rambam is talking about days we fast because of the things She'iru b'hem. And the Rambam says, they are Kedei La'orer Halevavot V'Leftoach Darkei Tshuva. The Rambam holds that the Taniyot that are because of things in the past have the same goal, or at least a similar goal. to the taniot that we have for things that are occurring in the present. How could that be? So the Rambam meshes it together and he says, "V'yeze zikaron lema'asenu haraim u'ma'aseh avotenu shehaya kema'asenu ata ad shegaram lahem vilanu otan atarot." Before you ask your question, I just want to fully explain the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that the reason we fast because of things that happened in the past is because the problems haven't ceased. The punishments haven't ceased because the same problems continue. Now just to elaborate, the Chatam Sofer, in explaining the Rambam Shita, how does the Rambam know that taniot that are because of the past are connected to taniot that are because of the present? And he says that without this linkage, how would the Nevi'im have had a right to be mechadish the concept of a taniot? So something terrible happened. So where do you get this? You can't be mechadish things. You can't make up mitzvot. But since the notion of taniot already existed based on chatzotzvot, all the Nevi'im did was expand it to these kind of circumstances that they saw as having a similar need. Chatam Sofer also explains that this is why on the Taniot we say vidui and slichot, which are tefillot to Hashem, right? As opposed to keynote of mourning, and we'll talk more about the keynote on Tisha B'Av in a few minutes. But before questions and comments about this, just one more point. Even though the Rambam is talking about how the Taniot have a similar goal, I don't think the Rambam is saying that they're the same thing. I'll explain what I mean briefly now, and then I'll talk about it a little bit more at length later, but there's one particular point that we can already make now. Both of the taniot are meant to lead one to tshuva. But I think it's a different kind of tshuva. If we look back, you don't have to, but if you want, you can, to the Rambams we saw on Thursday, the Rambam there talks about tshuva mamish, for the things that we've done wrong. When it's not raining, it means we've done something wrong, we need to do tshuva. Here, the Rambam's lashon top of page 7 is liftoach darkei tshuva. I think that's because we're not talking about, mainly about, or even only about ma'aseinu, but ma'aseh avotenu sheyuke ma'aseinu. I think you can see this difference in the Kriyas HaTorah and the Seder Hayom on the Taniot for the past versus the Taniot for the present. If you take a look at the third source on page 7, what is the Kriyas HaTorah? I don't know if we'd need to look at the Rambam for this because we know it. What's the Kriyas HaTorah on a Taniot for the past? What do we read? Ve'echel Moshe, the Egel. What's the Kriyas HaTorah on a Taniot that's because of the present? Now you may have to look at the Rambam. The end of Halacha Yud Chet, he says, "Uvetaniot shegozvinotan hatzibur neatzarot kegon vatzorot v'devav chayotzei ben korin brachot v'klalot kedei sheyeshuvu am v'yikana livavem kshemu otam." What's brachot v'klalot? It's tochcha. Why does that make sense? The Egel is the quintessential historical sin of the Jewish people. So if we're talking about a Tanit that's because of the historical sins of the Jewish people, the best parsha to read that's about sinning and forgiveness is the Egel. The Brachot and Klalot, the Tocha, is about bad things that are happening today. I think one more additional point, if you take a look at the Rambam Hilchot Taniot, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin, the Rambam there describes the Seder Hayom on a Tanit that's based on something happening in the present, and it's based on the Mishnah and the Gemara in Tanit, and he says, "There's gaining Yoshua Beit Knesset, Ubotkin al Maaseh Anshei Ha'ir." They sit down and they start thinking, "What have the people done wrong?" You know, they took the Aron Kodesh into the street, and everyone would sit and they would think, "Oh, what are we doing wrong?" We don't have that surah of a Tanit today for the Taniot that are happening because of the past, and I think this is why. If you have the questions and comments, we're going to see the other way of understanding these Taniot, which is presented by the Tosfot Yom Tov, and we'll talk about the differences and implications between these two different approaches. Okay, yes, Rebecca. Good for him. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so let's continue. The Tosfot Yom Tov takes a different approach, and the reason he takes this approach is to explain some of the important differences between Taniot and because of the past and Taniot because of the present. The Tosfos Yom Tov builds off the Rambam Shita, which is interesting because we already saw the Rambam Shita is about Taniot as a whole, so we'll have to get back to that. But in Hilchot Taniot, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Chet, the Rambam talks about how, in general, on Taniot, because of the present, we daven extra tefillot. We daven tefillat ni'ilah. Tefillat ni'ilah is an extra tefillah to lock up the day. That's davened on days that are supposed to be about tefillah. He says, why don't we have Ni'ilah? on the taniot that we have? Why don't we blow the chatzotzer on the taniot that we have? Because of the past. So the Tosfos Yontif says it must be because these taniot are different. He says Ni'ilah is only davened on a ta'anit that was instituted for tefillah. But the four tzomot that we have because of the past weren't instituted for tefillah. They're instituted for avelut. And therefore we don't have Ni'ilah and we don't have Matzotzer. Interestingly, the Tosfos Yontif speaks about four ta'aniot, even though they're really five. We'll get back to this soon. Or in other words, the Tosfos Yontif, and we definitely understand what he's saying, says that the ta'aniot, because of the past, are about mourning. They're about mourning. And I think the basis for this Tosfos Yontif we can bring from the Gemara in Megillah Daf Hei Amud Aleph in the bottom of page 7, which says that if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat, like this year, we don't make it earlier. Even though many things that fall on Shabbat that we have to do on a different day, we make earlier. Why don't we make it earlier? So the Gemara says, because Akdume Peronet Lo Makadmi. We don't want to bring forward things that have to do with Peronut. Now again, if this is mourning for Peronut, this makes a lot of sense. I think it's very easy to understand the difference between the Tosfos Yontif's explanation and the Rambam's. The Rambam is talking about Tefillah, to bring to Tshuva. The Tosfos Yontif is talking about Avelut. The only problem, of course, is that the Tosfos Yontif is building off of and explaining the sheet of the Rambam, which is hard to do because we already saw how the Rambam understands it, so we're going to have to deal with that question in a few moments. But what I want to talk about first is what the Nafka Mina, what the differences could be between these different approaches to the Taniot. Let's begin with the most significant implication, which is how to understand those Psukim in Sefer Zechariah. Remember we saw that the Kohanim asked, should we still be fasting? It made sense. They were returning to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. So if they have these taniot that are about being sent out of Eretz Yisrael, so what happens when we're returning to Eretz Yisrael? So Zechariah gives this long answer about how one day there'll be Yomim Tovim, but he doesn't say what that day will be, and then when, you know, what will need to happen. And that's why the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a discussion about it. Top of page 8. The Gemara there says, what do the Pesukim mean? On the one hand, he talks about them being Tzomot. On the other hand, he talks about them being one day Sasonu Simcha. When are they what? So in bold, Reb Shimon Chasida says, "Bizman sheyesh shalom, yiyu l'sasonu l'simcha. Ein shalom, tzom." It depends on there being shalom. Okay, as we know from our contemporary reality, sometimes it's hard to pin down what shalom is either, right? But in any case, that's what Reb Shimon Chasida says. Rav Papa now comes along, clarifies a little further. Rav Papa, achi kama, this is what it means. Bizman sheyesh shalom. Then there'll be litzom. Ein shmad v'ein shalom. If it's something in between, then it depends on people's will. Ratzu matanim, ratzu ein matanim. Now this addition of Rav Papa clarifies what Rav Shimon Chasida said in what way? L'chora, in what way? What does he add? Besides the ratzu at the end about there being a middle state. What's Ein Shalom, yeah? Shmad. He adds the other side, which is Shmad, which assumably would help us understand what Shalom is. Shmad means the Jews are being attacked. The Jews are being persecuted. Assumably, Shalom would mean the Jews can live in peace. Can you find that in the Pesukim in Zechariah, if you go back to page 6, where we saw the Pesukim? Can you find that there? About peace, tranquility? Well, look at Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. He's talking about what once was. Hello, at the Shakara, Hashem Biyad Nevi Marishonim Biyot Yerushalayim Yoshevet Ushleva VeAreh Asvivoteh VaNegev HaShfila Yoshev. And then he talks about how later will be that way again. Pasuk Dalid, Ko'amar Hashem Tzvot Od Yeshvu Zekeinim Uzkenot Berchovot Yerushalayim VeYish Mishantov Yadom Erov Yamim URechovot Eir Yimalu Yeladim VeLadot Mesachakim Berchovoteh. That's talking about peace in our times, right? Okay. I think this is the what Rashi understood. If you look at page 8, the second source, Rashi says, "Bizman sheyesh shalom." We'll get back to the first Rashi in a few moments. She'ein yad agoyim tkeif al Yisrael. Okay, I think this makes sense for the Rambam also. The Rambam writes, "Tilchotani uperekei alochi yotet," that all the tzoma will one day be batel b'yomos Mashiach. Not only will they be batel, they'll be yomim tovim. Now, what's yomos Mashiach for the Rambam? The Rambam famously writes in Hilchos Tshuva, perek tes alochaveis, that Yemos HaMashiach is Yanuchu Mimalchiot. The only difference between our world and Yemos Mashiach is there won't be Shibud Malchios. Discussion in the Gemara, but that's what the Rambam paskins. The Rashba has a similar formulation. The Rashba says, what does Shalom mean? That Yisrael Shurin Alad Masan. But the Jewish people are back in Eretz Yisrael, meaning you're back in your own land, living in peace, the way we're supposed to be living. However, Rabbeinu Chananel, and because of that, the Spanish Rishonim, many of them, right, second source, Bam, page 8, what is Manchiyeh Shalom? Calls Manchiyeh Beit HaMikdash Kayam, the rebuilding of the Beit Mikdash. That's true Shalom. That's a very different explanation, right? The Ritva, by the way, bottom of page 8, quotes both factors. And the truth is, if you go back to Rashi, second source on page 8, Rashi, in the earlier Rashi, also mentions the Beit Mikdash. We're not really learning the sugya there, but I believe according to Rashi, it's really a debate later on in the sugya about the bittul of Megillas Ta'anis. I don't know who wants to look into that sugya. In any case, we have two very different criteria. And obviously we could have nafka minas in both directions. One nafka mina would be, let's say we have the Beit Mikdash without peace and tranquility. In fact, this existed once upon a time. When did it exist? In Bayan Sheni. They had the Beit Mikdash, but the Jews were being persecuted. If you look at the top of page 9, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos that in the time of Bayit Sheni, it was up to them to decide if they would fast or not. Meaning, it was considered not Shalom. Something in between. The Tashbitz, though, writes that it's Pashit, Belo Safek. During Bayit Sheni, there was Sasona Simcha. Why? Because Sasona Simcha, he writes, at the end of the piece, depends on the Beit Mikdash. Of course, the opposite nafka mina would be, let's say we had peace and tranquility without the Beit Mikdash. Some people wonder whether that's what we have today, even though I think what we have today is not peace and tranquility. But in any case, there have been people who have spoken about it. So we have these two different approaches to when the Taniyot will cease. Can we connect between the scope of the Taniyot, meaning till when, under what circumstances do they exist, and the basis of the Taniyot? Let's think for a second, anyone? Sure. Can we connect between the question of when the Taniyot exists, what criteria we need, and the basis for the Taniyot existing? Which would make sense that they should be connected, right? For sure, if it's about Avelut, like Tosi Yamta said, it should depend on the reconstruction of the Beit Mikdash. And if it's about Tshuva because of our Tzarot, then it should be based upon Tzarot or not Tzarot. I mean, if there's sorrow, then you fast. If there aren't sorrow, then you don't fast. Which makes the Rambam l'shitato, right? We already saw that the Rambam understands that it's about sorrow. So therefore, it depends whether there are sorrow or not. How does he define what? You tell me, we've seen. Suffering. Oh, it's a good question. It's about the, you know, there have been Taniyot instituted based on people living in other places, but assumably the Taniyot based on leaving Israel would only be, you know, batel once the Jewish people as a whole don't have tzarot, which, like the Rashba said, would be returning to Israel also as part of the process, right? Now, the truth is that there's no contradiction between these two notions of Taniyot. And it's possible that they're both right, either separately or together, and I'll explain what I mean. It could be we find both of these elements in different situations, or maybe even operating together. And as far as integrating between ideas, the latter formulation is a much stronger integration than the former. To talk about two different ideas existing is you're integrating both by recognizing both, but you're not bringing them together. The second formulation is talking about how the two actually work in the same circumstance. But let's begin with the former. We've been talking about how there might be differences between the Taniyot. And if we take the two extremes, it's easy to identify on the extremes Taniyot that are one or the other. Let's begin with one extreme, Tanit Esther. Tanit Esther is assumably not about Avelut. What would you be having Avelut for? And that's why I think it makes sense that the Tosfot Yom Tov, when he talks about the Tzomot being because of Avelut, if you look back at the bottom of page 7, he talks about the Dalid Tzomot, the four mentioned by Zechariah. On the other extreme, there seems to be a Tanit that definitely has components of Avelut to it. And that's Tisha B'Av. And I think it makes sense that the Gemara in Megillah that we saw that talks about not moving a Ta'anit forward is talking about Tisha B'Av. I think there could be a source, just one second, for this uniqueness of Tisha B'Av, and that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Chet, the continuation of the Gemara on the top of page 8. Let's go back there for a second. The Gemara, after making its point about the different stages of the Taniyot, the Gemara says, Ihachi, Tisha B'Av Nami should depend on, in between status of Ratzu Mesanin, Ratzu Ein Mesanin. Amar Rav Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av, Ho V'Huch Bulubot Sarot. Tisha B'Av is different because it has added Sarot. Tisha B'Av is different. Now, if you look at the Gemara itself, it sounds like it's a quantitative thing. But Tosas asks the obvious question here. Tosas is on page 9. It says, what do you mean Tisha B'Av is Huch Bulubot Sarot? Shiva Sarot Tammuz had the same number, 5 Sarot. The Mishnah in the end of Tanya talks about each one of them having 5 Sarot. So Tosas gives 2 answers. The second answer is that Tisha B'Av is unique because the same thing happened twice. And this makes sense, particularly according to the Bavli, that the siege to Yerushalayim happened on different days in the different Batei Mikdash. There are others who hold, the Yerushalmi, that the siege happened on the same day, which would mean that Shiva Sabbatam is also the same thing happened twice. So let's take a look at Tosa's first answer. Tosa's first answer is that Churban Beit Mikdash Tekiva Tuva. It's tougher. It's worse. Now, this tougher, or worseness, could be just a quantitative thing, but it could also be a qualitative thing. There's a difference between the walls of the city being pierced, the walls of the city being surrounded, and the Churban Beit Mikdash. And I think that this qualitative difference could be exactly what we're speaking about when we talk about the added notion of Avelut. I mean, it could be that this is exactly the difference. All the other Taniyot are about Tshuva. Tisha B'Av has the added component of Avelut, and of course we know this from the Halachot of Tisha B'Av, where we have Hilchot Avelut. And this could be why, if we go back to page 7, the Kohanim asked particularly about Tisha B'Av. We already noticed that the Kohanim asked Ha'ifkeh B'Chodesh HaChamishi. It's understandable that they would ask particularly about Tisha B'Av, maybe even because of its linkage to the Beit Mikdash, which had not yet been rebuilt in the time of Zechariah. Could be the people were living in peace in Israel, but the Beit Mikdash had not yet been rebuilt. And so, I think if we take Tanit Esther on the one hand and Tisha B'Av on the other hand, we can see more clearly the elements that are being spoken about in isolation. The question, of course, is how do you view the Taniyot, the other Taniyot? And the second point I wanted to make is that it could be that the ideas presented by the Rambam and the Tosas Yom Tov are not only both acceptable in different circumstances, but it could be that the two can even be integrated together. And not only could be integrated together, we have a reason to integrate them together, and that's the kasha we asked before in the Tosas Yom Tov. How could the Tosas Yom Tov say, in the Shita of the Rambam, that the Taniyot are Avelut, when the Rambam himself writes that the Taniyot are about Tshuva? What's pshat? I think the truth is, if you look at the Rambam himself, back on the top of the page, top of page 7, if you look back at the Rambam himself, there's a difference in how he speaks about the Taniyot based on the past and how he speaks about the Taniyot based on the present. There's something missing here. When he speaks about Taniyot based on the present, he defines the days as Yimei Tefillah, as Ze'aka. Remember the word the Rambam used to connect between the Tanit and the blowing of the Chatzotzrot. Lizok, right, through Chatzotzrot and through Tefillah. The Rambam doesn't mention that. He does mention Tshuva, but he doesn't mention Za'aka and Tefillah. And of course, there's no din of Chatzotzrot. So I think one can say that even though the goal of the Taniyot is similar, the goal is always Tshuva, the means is different. And maybe this is what the Tosas Yom Tov means. On the Taniyot, based on the present, the means is Tefillah. And it makes sense that the means is Tefillah because we have what to daven for. The Taniyot that are about the past, the goal is Avelut. The goal is Tshuva, excuse me. But the means is Avelut. How could Avelut be a means to Tshuva? So let me bring you, for example, a piece from Soloveitchik, bottom of page 9, where he's talking about Avelut in general. So he talks about the first stage, which is the loss itself. But in the second stage, he says the goal of Avelut is tshuva. He says Lev Davai. Excuse me.
Can you repeat where how Rambam says that?
He doesn't say the means is available. The Rambam talks about the goal being tshuva and doesn't talk about the means. I'm saying what the Tosafos Yom Tov said could be true for the Rambam too. So Rav Soloveitchik writes that a lev davai harei u lev nishbar v'nitke, a sad heart is a broken heart. A lev nishbar v'nitke harei u kemuvan lev ritzui u pius. And a broken heart can be a heart of peace and coming together. Avelut ne'ora, enlightened avelut, kolel et hargashat ashma, includes a sense of guilt that can lead, of course, to tshuva. And if you look at the Tosafos Yom Tov himself, he never says that the Taniyot about the past are not days of tshuva. All he says is that they're not days of tefillah. What I'm trying to say is that the Tosafos Yom Tov and the Rambam can be put together because the Rambam only speaks about the goal and the Tosafos Yom Tov only speaks about the means. And neither of them say both, right? Neither of them say both. The Rambam only talks about it being tshuva. The Tosafos Yom Tov only talks about it being avelut. But the Tosafos Yom Tov can't mean to say it's avelut and not tshuva because he's explaining the Rambam who says that it's tshuva. And I think that the Rambam doesn't seem to say that it's through tefillah because he doesn't mention tefillah and we don't have the chatotzer. And I think the explanation of all this would be that tefillah is shayich when you're talking about something happening in the present. Avelut is when we're talking about something that happened in the past. Yerushalmi famously writes, Kol dor she'enu nivne biyamav, malan alav kilu hu echrivo. Any generation that the Beit Mikdash is not rebuilt in its own days, it's as if it destroyed it. So there's a connection between it, but there is that difference. I think this could be the difference. Yes, Rebecca. What's the problem? Right. So I think the Tosafos Yom Tov would agree that Esther is outside the pale of Avelut. I was talking about the other Taniyot, right? That's why he only talks about the Dalet Taniyot.
What do we do about the
thing? What do we do about? What do we do about it? We understand it as being a day of tshuva, not through avelut. All right. So let's now.